Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his predictions come true." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of prophecy. We thank you, Lord, that in Matthew's gospel he says over and over and over again that you fulfilled all prophecy. And yet, Lord, we also know that there are the spiritual gift talked about in Romans and in Ephesians and in Corinthians, Lord, of prophecy, of prophet. And Lord, we desire as the 21st century church to see prophecy in the midst of your people. But Lord, we recognize, as Jeremiah did, that when we're called to be a prophet, when we're called to proclaim the truth, that there are many in the world who do not want to hear it. And there are many in the world who want to tickle people's ears with lies and false prophecy. Lord, as we focus and fix our eyes on you this day, we ask you to help us to be Jeremiah's, to proclaim your truth in love and from your perspective and with your victory. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his predictions come true. It's interesting because ever since Pentecost Sunday, remember Pentecost Sunday, Confirmation Sunday? We had a passage of scripture from Numbers chapter 11, that was 2 weeks ago, and in Numbers chapter 11, remember what happened? Moses was told by God to gather the elders of the tribes of Israel and bring them to him, and he said, "I will take the spirit that is upon you, and I will put it upon the elders." Remember that? Remember the North American elders who were late for church? Remember that? There was two of them. They were in the camp. They didn't get to church on time. The Lord poured out his Holy Spirit upon the elders, and even though they weren't in church, the elders in the camp, there's two of them, got the Holy Spirit and started to prophesy, and someone came and told on them to Joshua, and Joshua came to Moses and said, "Tell them to stop prophesying. They didn't have to come to church. They shouldn't get the gifts. They didn't have to sit through the sermon." You know, works righteousness. Remember that? And Moses said, "You know, are you envious on my account? No, I wish that everyone could prophesy and that everyone would have the Holy Spirit." Remember, that was the charge, that was the heart of Moses on Pentecost Sunday. And ever since then, the Lord has been putting it upon my heart that he wants to see prophecy in the church. It's interesting because in this particular text, in Numbers 11, it's the last time we see prophecy from those elders. But in Joel chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 2, we see the church being told that they are going to have the manifestation of all the gifts, and prophecy is one of them. Being a prophet is one of the gifts, correct? And I believe it is important for the future of the church that this gift be exercised just as evangelism, just as pastoring and teaching, Just as important as it is to have an apostle in the midst of the people, all these office gifts are important. All these personality gifts are important. All these manifestation gifts are important to the health of the body. And yet, I was in Canada last weekend visiting my son and daughter-in-law in beautiful golden British Columbia. I said, put some pictures up on Facebook. Still all the snow up on the mountains. It was quite a beautiful thing. And as I was there, I ran into a few people who were talking about how we Yanks, I don't know, they all of a sudden made me a Yank. I don't know how that happened. But anyways, I wasn't ashamed. I said, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, why is it that you guys always have these people out there predicting the end of the world? I'm like, well, frankly, that guy was from California, and all kinds of things come from California. So, you know, give me a break. But anyways, it wasn't from Michigan. But, you know, they were basically kind of saying, you know, how can we believe the church when you have people saying the world's going to end and then nothing happens? Well, I said, actually, he just said he got it wrong and it's going to happen in November. So, who cares? But what was interesting was they were very negative on the idea of prophecy because of the errors that have happened over time, right? And I have to confess, there have been times when I have heard prophecy happen where I'm thinking, you know, because prophecy, in order to be of God, has to be in line with the will of God, which we know through Holy Scripture, correct? And that's why it's so important, because you listen to Jeremiah's story. Jeremiah, Saint Paul, but that's not right. As Paul, oh, he's a saint too. As Paul was sharing with the children's sermon, in the children's sermon, Jeremiah was chosen right from before he was born, right? Remember that? If he ever thought he was going to get out of being a prophet, what did he get told? Before you were even born, when you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, when you're in your mother's womb, I appointed you to be a prophet. Now, I want to talk about a job description. I talk about a calling. I mean, the guy didn't even stand a chance. And to be a prophet in the Old Testament was not an easy thing, because if you look at the prophets, look at the prophet Isaiah. He had to be naked and barefoot for 3 years. Now, you don't think that would be kind of scary? How you're saying, I'm so glad I'm not a prophet. I mean, he was called to that to make a point. What about Ezekiel? Remember Ezekiel? He spent 390 days on his side, half on one side, half on the other, to make a point. And then he had this kind of interesting food, and I'll let you figure that one out, because I'm not going to tell you. But every time the Lord called a prophet in the Old Testament, it was dramatic. They had to proclaim the truth, and the truth oftentimes was not just with words, but with actions. And Jeremiah is no different. Jeremiah was called to buy a pot of clay and break it to show that God was going to break the kingdom. Jeremiah was told in the passage just before our passage today to make, in the beginning of chapter 27 of Jeremiah, he was told to make a yoke of wood and leather, and wear the yoke. Now, I was going to put up some pictures, but I forgot. A yoke was a kind of interesting thing. How many of you have seen a yoke? It's this long piece of wood with two pieces of leather going down. Now, I know there's a lot of decorative things that people wear, but I have yet to see someone wear a yoke. Like the type of yoke that he would have, because it would be long, okay? It would be hard to drive a car with a yoke. All right? This was not something that was in fashion. This was something that would have drawn attention to him. And he wore it because the Lord said, I want you to wear this. Look it up in Jeremiah 27. I want you to wear this because I want you to not only tell them, but wear it as an object lesson for the fact that they are going to be the people of Judah, because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, because of their unwillingness to repent, are going to be under the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to be under the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar, and they are going to be under the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar not only during his lifetime, but during his son's lifetime and his grandson's lifetime. Now that really bothered the king. It really bothered the king because he was hoping that there would be victory and that he would get the stuff that Nebuchadnezzar had been given from the temple already. He'd been given part of the temple furnishings. He'd been given part of the temple treasury in order to buy peace. The people of Israel had been taken by the Assyrians, and so Jeremiah in his day had seen the northern tribe of Israel taken away to Assyria, and now the Babylonians had come, and against Jeremiah's advice, the king had shown them his treasures. Not a good thing. And surprise, surprise, he had extorted some of those treasures in order for them to be a vassal of the Babylonian Empire. Meaning, I'll leave you alone, you can do your stuff, but you give me some of the treasures. And to top it off, he took their king to Babylon and some of the nobles. They left Jeremiah and this other, and Zedekiah. And Zedekiah is there, and he's a king who wants to believe that God's going to give him back all the stuff that had been taken, and that they're going to have peace and victory. And Jeremiah is told to put this yoke on and to tell them the truth, that they are not going to receive what the things that these false prophets like Hananiah are telling them. Hananiah says what? He says, you're going to get everything back, O King Zedekiah. You're going to get everything back. And not only are you going to get everything back soon, but in the next 2 years, you're going to have everything back so that you're going to be even greater than you were before. That's what he tells them. That's what the false prophet is saying. How many of us can find almost anything we want to hear on the internet? I get so many blogs from different places. It's funny because I could spend all my time reading and listening to things that would just agree with what I want to agree with. Ever notice that? Well, things haven't changed since the beginning of time. There's always been a voice, and Satan's been really good at this, at always applying someone out there that will agree with what we want to hear. And so the king found these false prophets like Hananiah who would say what they wanted to hear. Not the truth that you should repent and ask the Lord to keep you humble so that you will remain a vassal of Babylon and not be destroyed. No, we want to hear that we're going to be victorious, that we're going to get everything back, and we're going to be greater than we ever were. We want people to tickle our ears and give us the truth that we want, not the truth that we need. Things haven't changed, have they? It's the same today. And yet it's interesting because in our gospel lesson, what does Jesus say to those 72 that he's sending out two by two? He gives them a powerful commission, doesn't he? He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the poor, preach the gospel, and several other things. He says, when you go into a town, say, peace be with you. If your peace rests there, stay there. If it returns to you, then move on. Wipe your feet off. Move on. He says, you're going to be drawn up in front of councils and flogged in the synagogues. But don't worry, because I'm going to give you the words to speak. Holy Spirit will speak for you. And then he goes on to say this really weird thing. And I'm going to, you know, turn the hearts of the father to the, or the, you know, a son against the father and a mother, or a daughter against the mother. And it sounds so weird, doesn't it? Because Malachi, in the Old Testament, the prophecy was that the one who was coming would turn the father's hearts to the children. And now he says this. But you know what he's saying there is he's saying that there's going to be division. As the truth is sowed, there are going to be people who will accept it and receive it. There are going to be people who will say, no way, I don't want that. And there's going to be division. That's why he says, I come not to bring peace, but the sword. And so you might just go, well, that's really negative. I don't want to hear that. Brothers and sisters, don't turn it off. Don't turn it off, because what's important there is he's saying that the priorities that we are to have to be in the right order. And he says, if you follow me, if you follow me, if you put me first, those other things will take their right place. If you put the Lord first, your family relationships will be in the right priority. If you put the Lord first, your work things will be in the right priority. If you put the Lord first, everything else will come in the right priority. So he's not saying that you're supposed to go out there and hate your father and hate your mother and hate your mother-in-law. Isn't that what he says? He says it's going to happen because when the truth is sowed, there's going to be people who receive the truth. There'll be people who won't, and they'll find people who will agree with them and continue on that road. And that'll cause division. But he says, if you put me first, if you follow me, if you lose your life for me, if you put me first, take up your cross and follow me, he goes on to say his burden is light. We're going to read that later. But if you do that, all these things will get the right priority in your life. It's good news, not bad news. And yet, I have to tell you that, you know, Jeremiah's got a really horrible task. Because he's got to tell the truth. And it gives so far as he tells the truth, and then he says what our text is today. He says, amen. I hope, Hananiah, that you're right. I hope you're right. I hope that there's going to be prosperity and all the treasures of the temple will come back and all the things the king hopes for will happen. I hope and pray that you're right. But, and mark this, that a prophet who prophesies peace will only be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord if, what? Only if his prophecies and predictions come true. That's extremely important. Because I'm here to tell you that one of the biggest concerns I have for the church today is that we fall prey to positive thinking. Now, before you jump on me for this, I want you to understand what my definition of this. I'm not a fan of positive thinking, but I'm a fan of thinking positive. And the reason I use those terminology that way, because some of you are going to go, you're scratching your head going, what's the difference? I want to tell you the difference. The difference in my mind is to be a positive thinker means I'm just going to ignore the things around me. I'm going to ignore anything that's negative. I'm going to ignore all these things in the world. I'm going to be not in the world and not of the world, nothing. And is that what Jesus tells us to be? Is that what he prayed for us to be? To be oblivious to everything that's going on? To be oblivious, to pretend that these things don't exist? Because I hear that over and over again from people. I'm just going to ignore these things. And I say, no, don't ignore these things. Because Jesus said that we are to be in the world, but not what? Of the world. So the difference between positive thinking, these are just my definitions. Please don't get me, you know, don't just assume that if you see someone and they say positive thinking that these are my definitions. But I want to tell you what concerns me. Is that I don't believe that we're to have our head in the sand and to pretend that we're not in the world and we're not of the world. I believe the Lord wants us to have a perspective of truth. Meaning, I think the Lord wants us to see all the stuff and to recognize that it is a bunch of garbage. I think he wants us to see that the world is full of it, literally. Right? I believe the Lord wants to have a perspective of truth. But more importantly than that, I believe, and this is again my own, now please, like if you're looking out there at books and stuff and you see these words, positive thinking, don't just write them off because they may be coming at it the same perspective I am. But I'm just telling you the difference I see is that when you start with thinking, you start with truth. And why I say we should think positive is because we should acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, that we live in a sinful world, that there is going to be division, there is going to be problems, there are going to be things, but that's reality. But we bring to our reality the truth of the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. That we have a perspective of truth, just like Jeremiah had a perspective of truth. But you know, Jeremiah never lost the lenses of God. He had a perspective of truth, but his lenses were God. And our lens should be Christ, right? That's what Hebrews 12 says. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when I say thinking positive, what I am saying is recognize the world we live in. Recognize that we're in the world. Brothers and sisters, use the lens of Christ and the good news of his death and his resurrection and his victory to see that we are not defeated. That we are not of little value. That we are not being destroyed. That we are not failures. But look at it through the lens of Christ and see that he died for you. And he died for me. And he rose again for you. And he rose again for me. And he's gone to the right hand of God and poured his Holy Spirit upon us so we can live as his children and have the power to live as his children. Amen? So let's have the perspective of truth, because far too many people think that we are living in a world, that Christians are living in a la-la world. They say, well, you don't understand. You can't understand what I'm going through. And I say, if we're going to live as salt and light in the world, then we are going to have to understand what the world is experiencing. Amen? We have to walk life with people. We are going to have to look out there and see what it's like. But our perspective is to be one, not of just pretending the world doesn't exist, just pretending, well, that isn't happening, just ignoring what's going on, but ours is to be a perspective of truth. Ours is to be a ministry of Jeremiah who said, amen, I hope it happens. But this is what the Word says. This is what the Lord says. And we acknowledge it so that we repent, so that we recognize that we come to the Lord with nothing, but he gives us everything. We come to the Lord as unrighteous sinners, and he gives us the forgiveness of sins and makes us righteous saints. Amen? So can we think positive? Can we? I think that should be, we should be known as people who think positive. Because we look and we recognize and we say, well, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. You can believe that. Sure, that's fine. We recognize that. But that isn't where we stay. Our perspective is truth, but our lenses are Christ. And we look at things through those lenses. We look at things because we fix our eyes on Jesus and we see the truth. We see that when we put him first in our lives, guess what? Everything else takes its right place. We walk in his grace and his mercy and his love and his power. We can be salt and light. We can help people to see that this isn't all there is. Right? This isn't all there is. Our God is so much bigger than what we can see. Our God is so much bigger than what we can think. Our God is so much bigger than anything we can experience. That's my prayer for us, is that we would be ones truly sent by the Lord. Wouldn't that be awesome if we were known as the ones truly sent by the Lord? Because we don't live in la-la land. Because we live real life with real people and say, yes, I acknowledge that this is a fact. But it's not the end of the story. Because we're in the world, but we are not of the world. We're in the world, but we are not of the world, because we see things through the perspective of truth and the lenses of Christ. We live as his people, as his children. Next weekend, we're going to be talking about liberty and freedom, because it's, you know, July 4th weekend. But after that, we're going to have a series for the month of July talking about what it means to live as people who are truly sent by the Lord, who have a perspective of truth and lenses of Christ. I hope that you get to take it in, because I believe that the Lord wants us to think positive and to know the truth and to be set free. We have the victory in Christ, and He wants us to be ones truly sent by the Lord.